I get to turn to Scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to begin by reading verses 23 through 32, really in preparation and anticipation of the communion service in a little bit. I knew this would be a rather lengthy service, a number of things going on, and also just given the demands of the wedding this past week, I decided just to share a few thoughts about communion. So I'm not going to be long this morning. I'm sure you're glad to hear that. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." There's a lot here that, you know, there's far more here than I could ever elaborate on in the few minutes that I'm going to take this morning. But we have been talking in recent sermons about the subject of sin in Scripture. And this actually fits in very nicely with the things that I've been teaching lately. If you've been here, we've noted that our problem with regard to sin is twofold. That we are both guilty of countless sinful acts by which we have fallen far short of the glory of God. And we are also sinners by nature. Therefore, that we are tainted with sin at the core of our being. In fact, the acts of sin arise out of this prior condition of sin. We made a distinction between sins plural and sin singular, that our sinful nature gives rise to sinful acts in our lives. And it's no coincidence then that the rite of communion that we partake in month after month is a twofold rite. Fits perfectly into this model of this twofold nature of our sin, our sinful condition. We have the bread and the cup. Both parts remind us that provision for our need has been made for us by Jesus Christ on the cross. The bread reminds us of our sinful nature and of our need for purification that is remedied by the breaking of the body of Jesus Christ. We rarely stop to think about the significance of Christ's body. In fact, I'll probably spend most of my time on this one because it's the one we don't really think about much. We often think about God forgiving us, of pardoning from the guilt of sin. But we rarely stop to think about the significance of the breaking of Christ's body. It was the vehicle through which Christ willingly offered up his will to the Heavenly Father. Again, if you were here last week, we talked about the essence of the sinful nature. What really is it at its core? I attempted to argue that the sinful nature is really about our self-will, wanting to go our own way, as Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Well, it's interesting when we look at Jesus Christ. In fact, I'd like for you to turn. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 5. The author of Hebrews writes this. He says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" Verse 10, he says, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all." Notice several things here. First of all, the background to the author's remarks here is the Old Testament sacrificial system. An animal without blemish was to be offered to God. And the idea that it was without blemish was significant. It conveyed the idea that what was required of us are perfect lives. And we failed to offer that. And so it was a perfect animal that was to be offered up to God. The Apostle Paul speaks in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, those very familiar verses. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. That we are to offer up our lives, our bodies, in wholehearted and willing sacrifice to God. And of course, none of us ever does that perfectly. We don't even come close. But it reminds us that we ought to have done it perfectly, and we haven't. See, our problem is not just that we're guilty of committing sinful acts, it's that we failed to live up to the righteousness that God requires of us. I know school has just started, so put it in, you know, back to school terms. It's not just that we have shot spitballs at the girl sitting in the seat in front of us. You know, those are sinful acts. But we have failed to turn in the homework that was required, you know? So we've failed on both counts. The death of Jesus Christ not only pardons us for the guilty acts that we've committed, it grants us the very righteousness of Jesus Christ that we have failed to offer ourselves. They're both sides of that. We've sinned, but we haven't also done right. Jesus Christ lived that kind of life. And so you see that here. He was given a body. A body was prepared for him. A human body. And through that body became a vehicle to express his will, his holy dedicated will to God. We're given bodies too, and most of the time we use it to express our own self-will. But Christ offered up his will to his heavenly Father every day and every moment of every day. Right up until that moment, as George was reading about in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he wrestled, and he said, Lord, do I have to? Let this cup pass from me. And ultimately he came and said, not my will, but yours be done. And the scriptures tell us that he went to the cross and he did so willingly. In fact, he did so joyfully. For the joy that was set before him, the writer goes on in a couple chapters, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It wasn't for joy of pain, obviously, but the joy of expressing his will, his completely dedicated will to the Heavenly Father in such an extreme fashion that brought joy to the heart of the Savior. And he lived from the moment he was born to the day he died in complete submission to the will of God. He was a perfect sacrifice, without blemish. And the scriptures tell us that he offers us his righteousness. It doesn't just say that he pardons our guilt and our sin, but he gives us his righteousness, speaks of it as clothing. It's as if we trade in our filthy rags and we receive back the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, he also teaches us to break the power of sin in our lives. When we see the beauty of the kind of life that Christ lived, we realize how far we have fallen short, and we begin to long to be like him. And we realize that it is our failure to live like him that led him to be crucified. We begin to see the fruit of our stubborn willfulness, and in our perception of it, the will is broken. And we are to be reminded of this every time we partake of these elements, particularly the bread of the communion service. One other passage, we looked at it last week, Romans chapter 6, in verse 6. Again, we see the significance of the body in this passage, the breaking of Christ's body. It says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So it's not, again, that Christ just forgave us and pardoned us from our guilty acts, but his body was broken, that the power of sin might be broken in our lives, that we might see its effect, that we might long to be not only forgiven, but renewed in our spirit, that our heart's desires might come into alignment with the will of God, And I would suggest that Romans chapter 6, verse 6 is a necessary prelude to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It is only as our will is broken, the body of sin is crucified with Christ on the cross, that we can then offer up our lives afresh and anew every day as a living sacrifice to God. So the bread reminds us of our sinful nature and our need for purification. I'll say a few words, and just a few, about the cup as well. The cup reminds us of our guilt for acts of sin and our need for pardon that is remedied through the blood of Christ. As I said before, this is one we, I think, are more familiar with or more cognizant of. The cup teaches us that our violations have received their just due in the shedding of Christ's blood. Paul expresses this probably most clearly in Colossians chapter 2. I'd like for you to turn there as well. Colossians chapter 2, in verses 13 and 14. And even here, you'll notice that the twofold nature of what Christ accomplished on our behalf in these verses. In verse 13, Paul writes, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature," there's the first part of it. You see that? Our will is bent. We have a sinful nature. We were, he says, dead in our sins, and he describes it as being uncircumcised in your flesh. "God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." You see, the remedy for the first part, our sinful nature, says that God made us alive. He gave us a new birth. He gives us a new desire within our hearts that we might want to follow his will. And like Christ, we want to say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And then the other part of the equation is that he forgave us all of our sins. He canceled the written code with its regulations. He says it's as if those accusations were nailed to the cross, the sentence that was against us. And his blood covers our guilt. And so in both senses, we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and his broken body. And that brings me back to this passage in 1 Corinthians 11. Just let me make one other observation about it. He goes on and speaks in verses 27 and following about eating and drinking the cup, eating the bread and drinking the cup in an unworthy manner. He says, "Those who do so will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." Hopefully you can begin to grasp what that means then. If we partake of these elements and yet continue in sin as if, you know, really doesn't matter, then we're really not grasping, you know, what the gospel is really all about. We're not grasping both parts of it, that we're not only pardoned for the guilty deeds that we've committed, but Christ came to liberate us from the grip of our own self-will that ultimately enslaves us. And he intends to bring us into a wholehearted devotion to Christ, where our will is brought into alignment with his, and we long to be like him. And of course, as long as we live in this body, we still struggle with that. But part of the communion service it's intended to be a way of us reflecting upon that periodically and praying to the Lord, not only that our sins might be forgiven, but that our hearts might be renewed and changed, that we might desire to fulfill his will day after day, moment after moment. And so as we prepare to take communion, I always give a moment of silence. It's not just a moment in which we can pray for confession of sin. We need to do that. But we also need to pray, "Lord, slay that desire to sin. Help me to desire to do your will. Bring my heart into alignment with yours."